The boys are back in town. Me and Tony are back at it one more time. Deadlock returns. We got AEW Full Gear that just went off the air, and we watched a little bit of KSI and Jake, KSI Logan. And Logan Paul, which was awful. Literally the worst thing I've ever fucking seen in my life.
I feel like that was like almost a downer for us. We shouldn't have watched it because now we're like,
I sat through that and I was like, man,
6 rounds of that. Bah.
This is the worst. Like, I don't know how many times they're going to swindle you guys out of money to go to decisions and shit, but like, it keeps working. So, like, you know, they're the biggest workers in the industry. WWE, Vince McMahon, he's losing ground to the fucking Jake Pauls. Like, they're working the hell out of these dudes. They got dudes that got Justin Bieber in the crowd, and he's like, man, I'm really praying for them. This is a good time. Like, this is awful.
Oh my God.
I don't know who the hell watches this with like any sort of enthusiasm. I feel like everyone was watching it like ironically.
I think so. There was one guy in the crowd who was like, yeah, this is the greatest stuff ever.
Yeah, I was like, man, what in the world? And people joke on wrestling? Like, y'all watching this? Like, oh, I don't know about that, Chief. I don't know about all that.
But thankfully,
AEW Full Gear was a pretty damn good show.
For sure, man. That was lit.
We're gonna break pretty much all of it down as we go through the card. There was only like seven or eight matches. Every match got a ton of time, and they got like anything and everything they wanted to do. I think they were able to get through with. So
felt like almost every match went about 20 minutes. It seemed, but
yeah, most of them did. The Lights Out main went super long. I think it went longer than the freaking title match did. So like, it went a crazy month. They're like, we're gonna do all hardcore spots. We're gonna do. You got an idea? Let's fucking do it. That's basically what they decided.
The light tube. They couldn't get that one.
Yeah, that's true. That sucked. But before we get into that, of course, we're going to talk about a few things really quick. Just want to give a big thank you to the people over on patreon.com/deadlockpw, new patrons and stuff like that. We had a couple $1 ones, Grap Stars, Michael Canty, and Nermian. Thank you, fellas. And we had a couple new $10 ones, Nicholas Dorito, we had Nikolai Nielsen, and Michael Robinson. We have some gimmicks to give out too. Brooks Nose was a guy that we ended up missing a few weeks ago just due to some... just sheer negligence. I guess we just missed him at one point. So we're going to throw him into the mix too, but we're going to do
mechanical issues, right?
Yeah, that's definitely what it was. We're going to throw him in with everybody else on the next episode. Hopefully Marcus will be back then too. And we can catch up on all the gimmicks and everything like that. So I got you guys written down and we're good to go. You want to tell him about Marcus?
I mean, he's signed with the Redskins, man. He's a big deal now. It's hard to get in contact with him. No, for real. He had to move, and then he moved from his family, and then he's got a house, and he couldn't even sell that house. Like, it's a whole big deal, right? So he's away from his family, went back to his family now, spending the weekend with his family, so
his podcast equipment's here, bro.
MIA. He's got a big deal, you know, so he's got to get that squared away. He's going to get his living situation figured out, get all that under wraps, because they're kind of like, hey, man, we need you to come to work. And we need you now. So yeah. It's kind of just like, all right, you take care of that, Marcus. You do that stuff.
He's in the middle of six projects. And he'll make his way back eventually. So we'll hopefully next week, we'll see. If not, the week after that, he'll get around. Of course, also, we had a few things happen on the website. Last week, we ended up, did we have it? I think we had it launched last week for the thing, too. The Cactus Invader shirt, we sold out in a few different sizes, which is freaking sweet. Thank you guys to everyone who's ordered t-shirts off that. Shop.deadlightpw.com. You can still check those out. There's still some sizes available on that. Some sizes on the other shirts, too. So if you guys want to help support and get some dope-ass wrestling merch, that's always an option, too. And, of course, we always appreciate that stuff. I actually sent out my first new packaging, which is super dope. So, like, redid the shipping and everything. We got little stickers now. We got little pins.
Nice, dude.
Yeah, we got the orange branded bags and stuff. We got some real, like, I like, we really just took it to the next level with the packaging and stuff. So I think you guys will really enjoy that and things like that. So if you decide to do that, go down that route. That's always there for you. Of course, we're going to have more drops. Hopefully, we'll have another t-shirt drop or merch drop. We're kind of discussing a few different items before the end of the year.
We have some ideas.
Yeah, we have some pretty ambitious ideas, too. We just have to figure out how to make that work and figure out how to sell it and do all that stuff. We're gonna have a lot of stuff planned for next year, but I think we should have at least one more merch drop before the end of the year, hopefully. So we'll see how things kind of play out with that. But like I said, thank you to everybody who's been supporting this stuff, because it's awesome. We have a, we actually have an article going up here. So we actually have a couple articles coming out this week too. So if you guys want to check those out on the website, you can head over to deadlockpw.com, and that's all there for you too.
Yeah, we got a lot going on. A lot.
So yep. Things always scaling.
PW. Get the lowdown on everything. Check it out.
Yeah, so let's go ahead and jump into this AEW Full Gear joint that happened this week. We had a couple things happen on the TV show this week before the pay-per-view that were pretty cool that we'll just, I'll just kind of cover over really quick with Tony here and get his thoughts on it and everything. We had Cody Rhodes come out the other week on AEW television, and he started off this little promo, and like he had tried to do this the week before, I believe. That was the angle they were pushing there, that Cody was trying to cut this promo before the Inner Circle was upstairs in the box, and then he punched the glass, and then, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, the major announcement he was gonna make.
Yeah, so he comes out this past week and he starts cutting this promo, and like you can tell right away, like this is like an old school, like you could tell right away the cadence that he's kind of talking in is like this old school way. And it's interesting when you look at promos nowadays compared to promos back in the day, because it feels like promos nowadays are kind of trying to sell this. They're trying to sell all these other things other than the person they're facing, if that makes sense. Like if you go back and you listen to a Cactus promo, or you go back and you listen to literally anyone in the entire world back in the day, like Ric Flair
back in my day.
Yeah. Harley Race. It didn't matter. You know, it didn't matter who it is cutting promos at that point, but it's like they were getting themselves over. They were getting the other person over, and they were getting the match over, because at the end of the day, they were trying to get as many people to the gate as possible. You know,
they don't do that
anymore. It's like, they're trying to, I don't know, like just sell this. It feels very manufactured, and like promos back then like didn't feel that way whatsoever. They weren't using brand names and hashtags, and you know what I mean? It was like, Terry Funk, you son of a bitch, you fucking piece of shit. I'm going to beat your ass at the Fall Brawl. You think you're better than me? Yeah, you might be a good wrestler. Yeah, you might be good at what you do, but I'm better, and I'm going to kick your ass. And like, that was just like, and it was cool because they had obviously like the tropes that they'd used and stuff like that. Like, you know, like they would use their first names and their last names, and they would, you know, they had like the things they would fall back on, but it felt different, and it felt a little more energized and real, and just, it was easier to get. And I feel like that's what Cody sort of pulled into in this promo that he cut, where he was trying to sell Full Gear and sell Chris Jericho as champion. Cause like the promo got him over, it got Jericho over, and it got Full Gear over. And none of it felt, I think the only part that felt a little weird was the beginning, cause I didn't know what he was doing. Like Cody came out and he was like, yeah, we got a pay-per-view this weekend. And I was like, oh yeah, that's, I mean, you do got a pay-per-view this weekend. I was like, it's just going to be one of them. Yeah. And then Cody's like, you start crying and shit. I'm like, oh, okay. Like we're getting crazy with it. Sure. I mentioned his dad and his family ended up being at the pay-per-view too. So, that really paid off in the promo. Like it was just like this very, like, did you feel that way? Like a very old school, like,
yeah, it was like, I love the line where he's like, we probably shared the same silver spoon.
You
that
dick.
Was fantastic.
yeah.
You dick.
Yeah, like it was cool. Like obviously, like a lot of people were kind of, they were really selling it, right? Like people were like, this is legendary Hall of Fame.
This is the hard times promo for Cody.
Yeah. And like cool, like, yeah. But it that's cool that you liked it like that. But like it's super difficult to, it's hard to, like when Dusty cut the hard times promo, you didn't know when he cut it that it was gonna be an all time promo.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
just knew it was, you yeah, just yeah. knew it was a good promo. You didn't know that it was going to be an all time. So it's like this is an all time. Like that just feels manufactured. Like the
it's
second
like
he cut the promo, this is an all time.
Look at that in retrospect and say, oh yeah, I remember that promo he cut. That was like amazing. Like compare it like throughout his career, you know?
Yeah. Time will tell.
Oh, yep. Greatest. Yep. He's Dusty Rhodes all over again.
Yeah. I think they'll use this promo a ton. Like they'll, whatever, for, you know, future video packages or what, you know what I mean, or whatever. Like,
yeah, definitely.
I feel like they're gonna use it a ton, but yeah, like all time, you can't tell if something's all time right away. Like I don't watch, like I do, and it's just hyperbole, to be completely honest. Like a lot of times I'll watch something like, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life, and like it's just hyperbole because I just enjoyed it a ton. And I feel like that's kind of where they're coming from, so I understand that a little. It, like, you know, like it, if someone really enjoyed it, whatever, that's fucking dope. But, you know, I saw, like, The Rock responded to it. He was like, good job, Cody. That was awesome. Yeah, that was a really good promo, Cody. Thanks, The Rock.
Thanks, Dwayne.
Like, thanks, that was awesome.
Three thumbs up. Great job, at Cody Rhodes.
But, yeah, the promo kicked ass. Like, you know, Cody's got some very interesting promos in his vault, you know, like the New Japan, more like Old Japan. He's got, he's got some in the vault. I'll never forget that. So for whatever that's worth, I'll never forget the old Japan thing ever, as long as I live. But
and I think you mentioned in this promo, or maybe it was in the package. He's like, people by, what do they say? They tell you that you'll never forget your first world title win. And I'm like, are we just scratching off the NWA title? Like,
that never happened. Yeah. That we don't even talk about that. We ain't talking about that. The US title. We ain't talking about none of that stuff. We ain't talking about anything they didn't have here. It's not a world title to Cody Rhodes. And I don't play him. This is his company.
Yeah,
this,
that was great though. But yeah, it was fantastic promo. Like, amazing, great stuff. Cody's really showing, and I was talking about this. I was saying, if Cody was to cut this promo anywhere else in the world than AEW, it probably wouldn't have worked as well. Like, there's something crazy. And we talked about it, and was the last show or the show before or something?
Yeah,
where, like,
yeah, it was.
AEW is just like this different, like,
atmosphere,
multiverse,
man,
or something, where like Cody's like the god of this, and he can do nothing wrong to these
people.
It'd
be people. The same. I mean, it'd be the same way with a lot of WWE guys too. Like, you know, Undertaker cutting a promo in WWE means a lot more than Undertaker cutting a promo anywhere else, just because he's like the WWE guy. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And Cody Rhodes is like the AEW guy. Like, yeah, Kenny is a part of AEW. Yeah, the Young Bucks are a part of AEW, but Cody is sort of like become AEW. Like, he is that product. So even, you know, going to the pay per view with Chris Jericho and stuff, like, the, we'll talk about it a little more, but like that match was way better than it should have been, and that's strictly because like Cody runs this AEW shit like with an iron fist, you know what I mean? Like, sure, he definitely does. But this promo was awesome. Like, him getting in there and making the stakes hard as hell, like 4 weeks into the TV, he's like, we haven't even done a pay-per-view yet, we're like 4 weeks in the TV, I'll never challenge again. I'm like, oh,
hey, hold on. If I was Shivani, I'd be like, what are you, excuse me?
Yeah, what?
Hold on.
It's crazy. Yeah, that, but I mean, like, it,
like,
made...
We still have plenty of time. Like, you could probably get another title. Like, you don't need to do this.
Yeah. Jericho's like, I'll face you, man. Like, it don't matter or anything. Like, yeah, we can definitely have a match. Okay, I'll put up my rights to ever face again. I said you could have the match, dude. I'll put up my life for it.
Put up Pharaoh for it.
Yeah, what? Dude, I already said you could have the match. My wife. Okay. All right, whatever.
You're going to have Brandy and Kong. You can have Kong too.
Whatever. Okay, dude. Yeah, we'll do all that.
You can have MJF while you're at it. hold on.
Everything's so good.
But I think what was really coming out of it was just kind of how he's like, I don't want to be known as the guy who books myself in the main events and title matches, and that's kind of why he put it on the line, I guess, is what he was saying out of this promo, right?
Yeah, and it turned out best case scenario for him, like at the pay-per-view and everything.
Yeah, exactly.
So we'll talk about that in a minute here. We had some other really good stuff too. The Chris Jericho vignette with just the cameos out the wazoo. Like, they were just like, all right, brother, how can we really, we talked about this the other week. They haven't done a ton of in-ring promos and they haven't done a ton of vignettes. They've done a couple of backstage things that they've kind of botched for the most part. Every time they go backstage, you can barely hear the audio, and they just have audio mixing issues in general. Like, have you watched the AEW Dark stuff at all?
Yeah, and the frame rate's kind of weird.
The audio mix is just awful. It's just like, the commentary sounds like it's underwater. You can barely hear the crowd. It feels like they're like testing stuff out like every 5 seconds. It's just like this really weird feed. And I feel like AEW has an issue with audio just in general. Like, even on the show, the TV shows and the pay-per-views. Now, you remember Cody Rhodes and Tony Schiavone in the limo? Like, you can hear the limo. It's just like going down the road. It's just like, that's all you can hear.
Another issue is they mic the crowd so hot, which is not a bad thing, but like when the other mics aren't very good, then the crowd is like talking over stuff and you're like, what is they saying? I can't really understand what they're saying.
Especially during the vignettes and stuff like that. Yeah,
the crowd was chanting SCU because I think SCU is still in the ring.
Yeah, you can still hear them. There's definitely some transition and like mic stuff that need to work out. Thankfully, you could hear this vignette. Thank God, because this thing was incredible. So like,
and
they haven't done too many yet.
The crowd was popping for like when they saw Virgil, and they were just like,
they knew they were.
They knew.
Which goes to show the audience that they have, you know.
I think Sammy Guevara was like, he's the youngest AEW world champion.
Yeah, that was like one of my favorite lines.
The crowd popped so hard. It was so good. Like, the whole thing was just fantastic. And I think this was like one of the first promos that I've actually like laughed out loud, like literally LOL'd in real life. IRL. LOL IRL.
Yeah, it was like a legitimately funny vignette. Not like a, oh, wrestling hokey funny thing, you know, like, oh, I get that. It was like, a, oh, hot damn, this is actually like legitimately like a joke. Like, this is like,
I'm saying like the time the fan interrupted Batista, and I'm like, oh, that's funny.
Yeah, it's not like wrestling funny. It's like just real life, like legitimately funny. The Soul Train Jones.
Was it like Ortiz or Santana was saying, dead ass Cody.
Yeah, he said, say some New York shit. He said, all right.
Oh, like, that's the first time I've ever heard dead ass in wrestling.
Dude, you got to listen to the promo with Low-Key and Alicia Tout.
Alicia Tout.
Yeah. They had a promo with Low-Key where he said that. She said, can you tell me some New York slang? And he said, well, I can tell you. Doing a low-key voice is so difficult because when I go low in my voice, it goes into this southern accent. But, like, yeah, you know how low-key's voice is. Yeah, you know, in New York, we say dead ass. She's like, dead ass? What does dead ass mean? He's like, oh, you know, dead. Just this low-key, you know, low-key telling. Yeah, low-key, you got to listen to the whole interview, man, because low-key's just like, you know, I came in with the suit, the hitman. I didn't even know about the video game. I had guns. I put the guns on the table. Finn Balor said, whoa. Like, oh, damn, this interview's crazy. Like, low-key's killing dudes. Yeah, that dude, that motherfucker's crazy. Anyways,
I think Dino Winwood's impression of Low-Key. That's what I think.
Well, he has we had to get him on for all impressions because he's just the best at all of them.
Yeah. But yeah, so again, bringing it back, he's a dead ass, and they just had a lot of.
They had like, everything the dead on there was just like. And, yeah, the Soul Train Jones and the breadsticks. Yeah, they had a bunch of funny stuff. It was just a really well done vignette that you don't see very often where it's like legitimately funny things that are happening. Like, I feel like. Sometimes I feel like AEW misses on funny stuff, but like at least it feels a little more, I don't know, organic in a sense. Like, I don't, it feels like they're actually make it feels like someone on Twitter would post it, you know, like it's relatable in a sense, I guess.
Yeah. And then at the end, Jericho's like, the hardest thing I have to think about is where I'm gonna get my bubbly at the end of the night.
Yeah, so like it was funny all the way through, but it still put over the match and it still put over Jericho and Cody. You know what I mean? It still did everything that the vignette needed to do, but in between it was like legitimately funny all the way through. Like
And I like how it was like a direct parody of the Cody promo that aired like a week ago or a couple weeks before that or something. So it was like a direct
right.
Like shot for shot parody. So that was fantastic.
The Southpaw reference or whatever from the Bobsky woman.
Yeah, Patricia. I think it was Patricia Bobsky.
Yeah. I think that was it.
And she's like, I always knew Chris Jericho was going to be an AEW world champion. And I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, they knocked the promo out of the park and the vignette. Like all that shit was just, this was honestly, there were some interesting things in between, and most of it had to do with commentary, honestly, which we'll talk more about that because the commentary was not good for Full Gear either. And there's only one person to blame for that, and it ain't Excalibur.
Shivani was doing a baseball game, so that sucked.
Yeah, I mean, like this was just a rough. I mean, like they obviously have commentary issues, and I don't know how many more. Like, I feel like maybe if people keep mentioning it, like they'll change it eventually because they have to. I mean, they can't not. I mean, it is legitimately. It is ruining matches, and like I'm not, and this isn't like a oh, Michael Cole saying it's boss time, or Mike, you know, or Byron Saxton saying ooh, or you know what I mean, or you know what I mean, this is something small like that. Yeah, this is like a legitimately like ruining matches, and it's really bad.
It's like almost burying talent by doing some of the
burying
things, you know,
it's burying the product. Like it's like the product doesn't matter. Like it's really really bad. Like I said, it's not Excalibur, and we'll talk about
that. I think
that
the
in a
biggest. Oh, okay. We'll wait.
Yeah, we'll wait because it was awful on the pay per view. The week on TV, like it was bad. Like they had the Trent and Pac match on TV, and it was awful. They just JR just fucking but we'll talk about that in a minute.
I do want to
quickly mention before we go into Full Gear, just how happy I was about the women's tag match on TV last week. Because we talked about it last week on the podcast where. I feel like AEW has just completely forgotten about this division, like to the point where like it's kind of almost embarrassing. And it's really weird because before the Riho and Amy Sakura match on Full Gear, they obviously had a video package prepared. So like obviously they had some sort of preparation. The Twitter never mentioned it. Nobody ever mentioned it. It wasn't on the countdown. It wasn't on the TV show. It's like, what is going on here? But thankfully, they had like a really, really well done women's tag match on TV with Emi Sakura and Jamie Hayter. And they faced off against Riho and Shana. And that was just a really, really well done match. I think it was probably like the best women's TV anything they've done yet. I can't think of anything that was better than that. I don't know.
No, not currently. I don't think so.
I don't think so either. I think like this is like, if I'm them, like I'm taking these four, I'm taking Big Swole, and like I'm just building the entire division around these women. Like Hikaru Shida, Big Swole, and these four. And I'm just like, this is our division. You know what I mean? Like they obviously have a lot of stake in Britt Baker or whatever. And they obviously have a lot of stake in Allie. I believe they all have positive records, but if it were me, I'm taking Emi Sakura. I'm taking Jamie Hayter, Riho, Shana, Hikaru Shida, and Big Swole. And like, those are my six that I'm building this entire thing. Like, right. I mean, like those are the women to do it, I think, you know, and you can add in people coming in and out. Sadie Gibbs is someone that you can throw into the mix every once in a while too, because she's pretty good. Yuka Sakazaki is super over, and she barely did anything. She just came in for like two shows, and she's like the most over person.
Yeah, I think
that was it. Yeah, so like you have a really like compared to before the pay-per-view, like they have a very solid group of women that they can really do a lot of special things with. And I hope they keep signing people. And Cody said on a conference call that the women's division is going to be something that's going to be taking a lot more priority post pay-per-view. I guess maybe they realized like how shittily they kind of handled this whole thing, to be honest. Maybe the tag match woke them up a little bit. I don't know. I thought it was a really good match. It was really, really good.
Yeah, I feel like now we'll see what they can do and going forward, if they're gonna continue to push them, and Kenny's gonna stop playing those video games.
Yeah, Kenny's getting stuck. Yeah, I can't get into Japan. It's like, no gamers allowed, Kenny. Why don't you go back home and start booking the women a little more, Kenny? Come on, help us out a little bit here.
There you can get in Japan. We'll let you back.
Yeah, put this division a little better. But I was really happy with the tag team match. And, like, they had obviously, like, Riho and Emi Sakura had been, they've sort of been interacting on TV quite a bit. You know, they've done tags together and they've done stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But they never, and this goes back to the commentary, dude. The commentary is not putting anyone over. They're not putting feuds over. It's truly, and it is 100% truly up to the people in AEW to get themselves over.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, the commentary is not doing anything for any of these people at all.
Yeah, it feels like you know all the history of them, but like they don't tell that story on commentary or tell anybody. Like, Jim Ross can't even pronounce names correctly, so it's like,
yeah, no, I mean, like, I can personally understand why someone wouldn't, like, when I posted before the pay-per-view, I was like, I'm really excited for Riho versus Emi Sakura, and like, mm-hmm. I understand like that is not going to be the same for everyone else, because like don't understand. And it kind of pissed me off a little bit, because I'm like, they should understand. Like, it's such a simple story. Like, hey, this girl was really young. She got trained. She went here, and now they're here, and she brought her teacher with her. It's a really easy, fucking good story. Commentary could have put it over. I just, they're not doing anything.
I feel like they said student versus teacher thing a couple times. I don't remember when.
No, they did, but the problem is that they're not putting over any story. It's like passerby information. It's like,
oh, right,
on the way
to
the ring, it's like, oh yeah, she's the mentor or whatever. All right. So, JR, why aren't they going for the pin?
Right. It's just like another stat or something.
Yeah. Though. It's like, just, they're like, just reading things. They're not putting anything over.
This is,
Like, JR was stuck. He's like, she's 98 pounds.
Oh yeah. He got stuck on that at the pay-per-view too. Right? Yeah.
We'll talk about that. I'm going to talk about everything that, cause they were at their worst. They were at their worst in Riho's match.
She's great for 98 pounds.
It was at their worst. Excalibur is fantastic at calling matches, but they need someone who's going to put over the in-between stuff. You know what I mean? They need someone there. And like, JR is not that person at all. They need someone young. They need someone like fresh that isn't JR, or, you know, I like Tony, but Tony's not the guy either. They need someone fresh. Like, you remember when TNA had that, they had a three-man booth and they had that random dude they brought in, and like, I don't know if you remember this or not, it was like during the Hogan era, they had like a three-man booth for like a year, and like,
I don't remember
I don't remember the dude's name whatsoever, but like, he got brought in, had nothing to do with the shit, and then like, he ended up being like a super, you know, good part. Like, he was probably the best person on the fucking show. Because at that point, Taz, they probably had checked out. Tanae, you know, was winded down to. It's just like, this is the guy. So I feel like maybe they should do that. Maybe look, you know, go out a little bit and look into getting someone else that's willing to do research, you know, on.
I think they tried with Alex Marvez, but it didn't work.
Well, because so he's the absolute pit, so get someone better.
Yeah, right. So they need to get someone. I think he does a lot of the research for those guys, though. Isn't he like the guy giving all the stats and all that? He's getting all the.
I feel like he doesn't do anything. He just collects a paycheck and, you know, calls it.
Yeah. I don't know. But yeah, they definitely do need to have someone in there that's going to fill the shoes that Jim Ross can't.
Because he has, he's got a lot of space in them shoes. Because,
It's just so, like, the thing about him is, like, you can just tell when he doesn't like what he's watching, and that's very bad for
he doesn't like this whole fucking product, bro. He just doesn't like any of it. He's like, oh, we'll you sure heard him with the Rock and Roll Express. He's like, yeah, Rock and Roll Express, Ricky Martin. And I was like, oh, yeah, now you're there, huh, JR? Okay. Ah, yeah, you know those guys, huh? Yeah, we can go ahead and kick it into full gear here. Did you end
we'll
up watching
this
the...
into full gear when we get to full gear?
Did you watch the pre-show?
I did not. I did not catch the pre-show.
Okay, so it was Britt Baker versus Bea Priestley, and it was just a singles match. And like, they had a pretty short pre-show. It was like 30 minutes, I think. But the whole story is all right. So the story is awful. The story was Britt Baker got hurt by Bea Priestley. She said, "In our business, you got to protect me." It's like, what do you fucking mean? I'm going to beat the shit out of you. Like, you know what I mean? Like that. Yeah. The whole thing was like, and Taz is trying to sell it. He's like, yeah. Taz is on, he's on commentary. Yeah. So Taz is on commentary and he's trying to sell it. He's like, yeah, you know, you do got to protect the person you're in the ring with. I'm like, what? Are you like
Taz?
They could have sold
the human suplex machine. The guy that wanted to kill people.
Yeah, like they could have sold it a little better. Like, I understand what they were trying to do. It's like if you were in an MMA fight and like someone got intensely injured. Like that wasn't your intention when you're in the. Your intention is to win the match, and like they tried to do that. You know, with like Britt Baker was like, my intention is to win. It's not to hurt anybody. So I get what they're trying to do, but the way that. If they would have just cut it there, then like it probably would have been better, but she kept explaining it even more and going into it. And she just sounded like she doesn't want to get hurt wrestling. It's like, well, that's just like part of the, you know, it's just part of the job. Oh, anyways, right. They go into the match. Bea Priestley is, you know, she gets her up for the Queen's Landing, which is the Japanese Ocean Cyclone Suplex. I don't know if you know what that is. Get her on the shoulders, cross her arms, and you just fucking back bump from hell in an electric chair drop position.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so. She gets her up in that. Britt reverses out of it and hits her with the lockjaw, which is that thing.
The mandible claw.
Yeah, yeah.
So rings of Saturn. Isn't it Rings of Saturn?
Yeah, Rings of Saturn. But it puts her hand. So, by the way, Britt Baker also has the flu, and she put her fucking hand all in Bea Priestley's mouth. She's like, yeah, yeah, you can get the flu now. So, yeah, that was... it was okay. I mean, and that's, like, the biggest thing with Britt is, like, it's just okay. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I feel like they were pushing. I don't know anymore, but originally they were pushing her as like the top, but I don't know if that's the case anymore.
This match was definitely better than Shawn Spears and Joey Janela. That's what I was trying to say is that I feel like you could have switched the pre-show out a little bit. I feel like while Britt Baker and Bea is not like a blowaway by any means, it at least had something to it. It had at least something that people could grasp on and understand. And while the dentist, she did the promo, Tony, and she was just like, she started talking about dentistry and she started talking about how she was going to stick her finger in the veneer and stuff. It's just like, huh, you are indeed a dentist. And while that is very overly done, it is at least something that people can remember. I was out to eat with dinner tonight with my friend before the show. And I was like, hey, do you remember that wrestler? Do you remember Britt Baker? And he's like, yeah, the dentist. And I'm like, he doesn't watch wrestling, Tony. He doesn't watch wrestling, and he remembered that she was a dentist.
The dentist.
It works. So, like, while it might be overly done in a way, it at least works in some sense.
I guess it sells the lockjaw, too, right? Because she knows how to manipulate the jaw.
Yeah, that's what she was saying. She's like, I'll get it in there, I'll hit your nerve, and then you'll tap out because you can't breathe or something. Like, okay, well, like, that's pretty cool or whatever.
If I ever have a toothache, I'm never going to her because she's going to put the lockjaw on you.
Yeah, she's going to put lockjaw on you while she has the flu. Like,
manipulate the nerve.
Ew, Bea is going to get sick. She's going to have a plane ride from hell just being sick with the flu trying to get back to Japan. That's going to be rough. But yeah, I definitely feel like I would, if it was me booking the card, I'm switching Shawn Spears and that match. Because while it wasn't blow away by any means, it was an okay match. And like, they, you know, they worked it out and it ended up being good. It was probably one of the better, if not, it's probably the single best Britt Baker match that she's had since joining AEW, which I don't know. You can figure out if that's a good thing or
but
not.
But again, you said that your friend knew who Dr. Britt Baker was.
Yeah, dentist, like she resonates so. With people. Like he legitimately only, I think he watched the very, I'm talking about, it was like the very first, like before it was AEW, dude. I'm talking about like All In. Like, okay, yeah. So this is like way, yeah. And he remembered that. And he just watched like a little bit of it. And he remembered the dentist. And I said, well, I mean, you know, if it works, it works. And if it gets over with people, it gets over with people, you know, like people complain about no gimmicks or whatever, but they finally presented with a gimmick. And it's just like, I don't know, man, maybe not too much of a gimmick. It's just like, okay, it works.
Yeah.
But it was probably her best match.
Yeah.
Anyways, moving on, we had Proud and Powerful and the Young Bucks match first. So that was an interesting decision to go first, yeah?
Yeah, I think so, but they want to put their tag stuff over, right?
Right. It's just like this match went almost twice as long as the Triple Threat. And it, you know, most of the time when you do an opener, you like you expect it to go like right out the gate, just like crazy, you know, like especially with AEW, which is a lot of like the psychology is just different, you know, where like people are able to kick out of things and, you know, you know what I mean? So like, I probably would like, I'm just thinking like, you know, card wise, I probably would have switched this match, especially cause when I saw the match going a little bit further and I saw Nick selling the leg and all that stuff. I'm like, man, this definitely feels like a later in the card kind of match.
Oh, right. Yeah. I see.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, when he was selling, when he kicked the post and then he was selling that and they were working that for, yeah,
I like that.
I definitely see. Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah, Nick falling off the ropes when they went for the Meltzer driver was really cool. Like, yeah, he bumped like shit. That dude, like, felt like he took that bump. I was like, okay, that was cool. I love Santana and Ortiz too, dude. They're awesome. Like, that was such a good get for them, yeah?
Yeah, for sure. They were like the hottest free tag team at the, like, again, we were talking about like top tier tags.
Yeah.
Like we were talking about them. They definitely are top tier.
Yeah. They're fucking sweet.
Like best in the biz.
That turned out great. It's just, like I said, it was a good match. The pacing was good. And like the, you know, working, people love that. Like they love the limb targeting storytelling. They love that stuff. You know?
People love that.
They love that limb target storytelling. Like, I don't know why.
But
yeah.
It works,
it's just like,
dude.
That's like the most basic, like wrestling psychology ever. And people are like, this is crazy, man. I don't know. Nick ends up hurting his leg and that's why they end up losing to Proud and Powerful, which, works out pretty good. Like I said, I just think maybe if you would have switched the three way and, I definitely would probably switch to three-way and that match, but Proud and Powerful looked awesome in this entire match. The Rock and Roll Express came out afterwards and they were like going crazy. Bro, the boys were cracked out and ready to fight. That shit was ready. I was like, oh damn, the boys were slapped off some fucking somas, bro. They got Zayas on the Wazoo out here.
Tope Suicido or something?
Yeah, hit a Tope Suicido out of the ring and he came back in the ring and said, let me hit this Canadian Destroyer. I said, oh, here it goes.
They probably, you know, when they were put through the stage, it was probably like, all right, you can put it through the stage if we get to
do
this.
Yeah, dude, the Canadian Destroyer single-handedly, like, gave these dudes another, like, 5 or 6 years of relevance.
Yeah, I know.
Isn't that crazy? That's absolutely
insane.
It's
just become like a suplex and a DDT at this point, right?
Dude, Britt Baker did it in the opener and be kicked out.
It sucked.
Yeah, but she beat her by putting her hand in her mouth. It's like, dude, what the hell is this?
You remember when Peter
Adam
Williams
Cole
did
it on WWE too, dude. Against Daniel Bryan, he set him up for the Panama Sunrise and then did the last shot. It's like, this is a power driver. Y'all know that, right?
When Petey Williams did that move, it was like, that was it, man. That was the move
of the
year.
It
was voted
people.
Like best move of the year out of any wrestling move. And it was like,
well, it's interesting because like when I watch indies and stuff, like I expect it. But like when I watch like WWE or AEW or something, maybe like the expectations are just different. So like when I see a Canadian Destroyer in these companies, I'm like, whoa, like that's it. But then like Adam Cole's like setting him up for a different move with it. I'm like, oh, what the hell?
Yeah, that's just like a setup to his finish.
It's it's such an interesting dynamic in that sense. Cause I honestly never expected the bigger companies to like have it be like that. But
Yeah, and it's like some of the people really shouldn't be doing the Canadian Destroyer.
Britt Baker should probably not be doing the Canadian Destroyer. It doesn't look great when she does it. You know, Ricky Morton does one hell of a Canadian Destroyer, so I give him that much. You keep doing all you want, brother.
Yeah, Britt Baker, just keep sticking your hand out people's throats.
Yeah, I'm actually cool with the Lockjaw, maybe not the Canadian Destroyer. Let Ricky Morton take that over. I wouldn't be surprised they let them have a little run. I guarantee they at least have one Rock and Roll Express match somewhere on one of these cards. It's going to be like, they could have like Lucha Bros versus Rock and Roll Express or something. And they could. I promise you they could carry them through something.
Private Party or something. Let's make it happen.
Yeah, you could I was going to say Private Party, but I feel like they need someone like, to kind of command.
Just imagine the story that they could tell with Rock and Roll and Private Party.
Yeah, they could have a lot of fun. I think that would be some really stupid shit, and I think it'd be fun.
There's a lot.
They're the NWA tag champs, I think. Rock and Roll Express, unless they already lost them. Isn't that crazy? They're the NWA tag champs right now. They're cracked out champs, baby. They're ready to go. I'm pretty sure they haven't lost them yet, but like I'm pretty sure they're the NWA tag champs. That's why when I saw him get powerbombed through the stage, I was like, whoa, this got crazy. A lot of these matches ended that way too, where like someone lost and then they just kept their heat afterwards. But like they jumped the fence and attacked Proud and Powerful. And I was like, wow, that's
They're since October 1st, they're the tag champions.
Yeah, so. They're still the NWA tag champs.
They defeated
like Bram and something, right? Yeah, Thomas, whatever. Yeah.
And Royce Isaacs during second day of the NWA power taping. So they're the current champions.
Yeah,
so.
They're the current NWA tag champions. Isn't that crazy? Yeah, that's just wild. Nuts, man. That's absolutely nuts. Fuck, dude, that was some cool stuff. I really enjoyed that, the after bits of this match. This wasn't like a match of the year or anything, but it was like a solid, you know, like it definitely like got some people over, and we got to see Ricky Morton do a Canadian Destroyer on.
Now that I think about it, the card should have been flopped a little bit because they had I totally forgot about the Canadian Destroyer and all the crazy shit. So
yeah,
could have done some placement.
Yeah, that definitely could have been switched with the Triple Threat. I think like that probably would have been the way to go, especially because it was pacing. Like the card went you know, leg psychology match into Adam Page and Pac into Sean Spears. It's like this definitely, like, if they would have put the Triple Threat first and then done Adam Page and Pac, and then maybe done like, I don't know, they could have switched it up a little bit. That's why I still think Sean Spears and Britt Baker's match would have switched, because if it would have went Young Bucks and Proud and Powerful, Adam Page and Pac, Britt Baker and B Priestley, you know, like they definitely could have that one. Even just switching the pre-show and Sean Spears changes that quite a bit. But by the time we got to the Sean Spears match, I was like, okay, I'm going to use the bathroom and I'll be back whenever this is over with.
Right.
We had Adam Page and Pac face off. They went pretty long, to be honest. I think it was a 30-minute time limit, but they went pretty long. Adam Page ended up beating Pac on that one. I mean, I kind of saw, like, I expected Adam Page to win just because I feel like what they're doing is, like, he'll lose on TV quite a bit, but he'll win on pay-per-views, right, sort of thing? Because, like, people remember that a little more.
And they kind of still want to put Adam Page as like one of the top guys, or the, like, you know, still a title contender for this.
I know Marcus fucking loves Adam Page.
I'll have to get Marcus's take on Adam Page soon.
Yeah,
but
I'm just like not super in love with him, I guess. I definitely like Pac a lot more. I feel like Pac is definitely like one of the better guys that they have. He had that little bit of an issue on TV with the referee. I can't remember who the ref was. Was it Bryce Rensburg? I can't remember.
I think it was Bryce, on the last episode where they did the weird pin thing. Yeah.
Yeah. And he went for the black arrow, and then Bryce went to count it, and then like, I guess Bryce thought he was going to kick out, but he didn't kick out, so the pin was blown. That's just a little bit of an issue. It's nothing crazy, but it was against
Trent. I
think
maybe there was like a miscommunication if it was supposed to be like a, because then he just slapped in the whatever. What's he
calling
it?
I think that was just because, yeah, it's a brutalizer is what he calls it.
Yeah. So I think it was just kind of like, oh, well, I'll just do this then. I don't know.
Yeah. I think it's because Pac is just like a professional. He's like, oh, blown finish, brutalizer. I think that's probably more so. What happened, but I mean, Adam Page and Pac had a match. It's just like, sometimes I feel like these AEW matches just go, if that makes sense. So like this match was like 20 minutes long, and I feel like it could have been like 12 and it would have been like the same match. like Adam Page and Pac just pissed around for a few minutes and just like did nothing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's like a that's not even an AEW issue. That's just an issue in Western wrestling. It's just an issue in New Japan too. It's an issue in just wrestling period right now, where like we just piss around for 10 or 20 minutes before we start getting into the match. And like you can argue that that's psychology or storytelling, but like if it doesn't add to whatever you're doing, then like you're just pissing in the wind sort of thing. You know, like when Ric Flair used to do his 60-minute, like if you watch any of the older Ric Flair 60-minute joints, like they're just pissing in the wind for half an hour before they go into their spots. Like no one's remembering. That's why I was like with Chris Jericho Cody, I'm like, man, I hope they don't go an hour. Cause like it's already difficult enough to remember your spots for like a half hour match. Trying to remember spots for a 60-minute match is just pissing in the wind, dude. It's just like, you'll never remember any of these. And like, you'll just drop a headlock in and like, you know, just kind of waste your time. And I just feel like a lot of wrestling is like that right now. We're like, because the heat's different, right? The heat's different wrestling. Mm-hmm. Like you just don't get that same heat. Like if you locked in a headlock, like it's not building babyface sympathy anymore. It's just sort of like, everyone's like, oh, can you get to the next spot already? I don't think they should throw away all spots like that or anything. I don't think they should throw away like stuff like that. I feel like wrestling just needs to adapt to that. Like if someone locks in a headlock, sell it a little more, you know what I mean? Like it's just like wrestling's gotta adapt to that sort of thing, because right now it's just like drop the headlock so we can get ready to do the Canadian Destroyer.
Yeah, I guess what you're saying is like they could have cut 10 minutes of their stuff out and it still would have been fine,
right? Yeah, could've. I don't think this match needed to go 20 minutes or anything. It definitely didn't do Adam Page any favors.
Was this the point? I feel like this was when Jim Ross started getting bad.
Jim Ross wasn't at his absolute worst until the women's match. Surprise, surprise.
But I feel like he was kind of like, go for the cover, get the pin. Why are they wasting?
Oh, yeah. No, it was definitely in the Joey Janela match, and it was definitely in the Private Party match. Adam Page and Pac was pretty okay, I think, for the most part. They fight with a lot of urgency. It's like whenever Pac climbs the ropes and he's trying to settle himself before doing the Black Arrow, Jim Ross is like, oh, he's taking quite a bit of time. Well, yeah, Jim Ross, because he's doing a goddamn 630s corkscrew fucking senton off the top rope, you dumbass. Like, I can't believe that's even a conversation. Like, yeah, he's taking a lot of time because he doesn't want to fucking die. Like, what?
He's about to flip like halfway around the world and land on
that. Like, and Jim Ross is like, oh, I wish he would just get his ass off the ropes and pin him already. He's like, let him do his move. Please. This is a spectacle, man. Like, just let him do this move.
Not everybody can do a Black Arrow. Chill, man. Chill.
Excalibur's losing his mind. Black Arrow! And Jim Ross is like, well, you know, you're going to get a two count anyways. It's like, all right, damn.
He didn't get all of that one. It didn't get bad until the 10.
Yeah, Joey Janela match in the Private Party was, oh my God, it was awful. But it didn't get ultimately bad until Riho and Emi Sakura. That was the pit. God, it sounded, I can't wait to talk about that one. Page beating Pac, like, makes sense, like, whatever. It was just, like, I just felt like it's funny because, like I said, if they would have just, you know, switched around a couple of the matches, the pacing would have been a lot better, and I think a lot of the matches would have been a lot more.
And they didn't need to go 20 minutes for this type of match anyway.
Yeah, I don't think they needed to. It definitely felt like it went a little long. Sean Spears and Tully Blanchard, they end up beating Joey Janela in a match.
He's the chairman.
Yeah. AEW does a lot of stuff where the lights go off. I was like, what's happening? But it was just the chairman. Yeah, every time.
There was a lot. Actually, now that you mentioned, there was a lot of lights out moments.
That's what I'm saying.
And I felt like Jim Ross was clueless because he's like, oh, what's going on? And then
like they don't tell the commentary anything. Like, yeah, something's happening.
And I'm like, did the stream go down? Like, what's happening?
Yeah.
And I'm just like, it's just the chairman.
The chairman with his dad. Yeah, here is his grandpa.
He's
Tully Blanchard.
on his little hoodie. Oh, he don't. Yeah, Why does he still have the ten thing? Like,
I don't. He don't know either. Like, it's just, I just can't imagine anyone like. That's what I was saying. They should have put this on the pre-show. Like, enough. It's like Sean Spears is just kind of just uninteresting. He's the chairman, but he doesn't even use the chair anymore. It's just like, who are you now?
I hope he like walks by Cody one time backstage and Cody's like, why do you still have that chair? Like, I already beat you. Like,
it's weird because like if he would have asked Joey and said, can I hit you in the head with a chair? He said, you should hit me twice. Like, you know what I mean? They could have definitely got the chairman. Like, he has to have, they did the chairman thing, and then he ditched it. And he's just like, I'm not doing this shit anymore. I'm not doing the chairman. I just have this.
This is a cool thing for his entrance where he sits down. And then
right. And it's just like, hit. Like, Joey Janela and Jimmy Havoc, you could stab them in the neck with a knife, and they'd be like, yeah, do it again. So, like, hitting him in the head with a chair is just like, whatever. Or just using the chair in general, you know, at all. Maybe don't, like, do unprotected headshots every week.
And just dance with it. I don't care, man.
Just do something. Anything. Because regular Sean Spears locking in. Yeah, he's regular Sean Spears locking in, like, fucking sharpshooters and stuff. It's like, oh, okay. Well.
Yeah.
And Joey saved the match. I'm sure... You know, they did the spot where Joey ends up getting tied up to the ropes or whatever. You remember that where he tied his ponytail onto the ropes?
Yeah.
That was a cool spot. But, like, you know, other than that, it was just like a match. And I just don't care about Shawn Spears.
Yeah, I don't think it really benefits either of them in this sense. You know what I mean? Like, neither of them were like, oh, yeah, they look better after this.
Shawn Spears. What a weird dude.
With his dad.
Yeah. Oh, here comes Grandpa. That's my favorite part. Shawn Spears comes down the ramp and sits in a chair. It's like, oh, I guess Grandpa's coming out now. Who the hell is this guy?
Yeah, I feel like they're real hot on Shawn right when he came in. And then they're like, we're doing this chair thing with Cody. And then after his Cody program, it's kind of like, yeah, we really don't know. Just bring the chair out and sit down.
I was surprised they even booked this. Like, I was like, wow. Like, out of anything, you could have booked. Darby Allin wasn't on this show. I would have booked Darby Allin in something like. Why the hell would you book Darby Allin just sitting in the crowd? I've been like, damn, fuck this Shawn Spears shit. Like, I'll get Darby Allin here and he'll tear the house down with somebody, anybody. They didn't have a lot of people on the card. Jurassic Express wasn't on the card. Darby Allin wasn't on the card. You know, an entire group of women weren't on the card. I mean, like, you know, like there's like a very big amount of people that they just didn't do anything with. It's like, oh, Shawn Spears is definitely the move for our 1 out of 4 pay-per-views of this year. It's like, interesting decision that I don't know if I would have done, but I like Joey Janela. A lot of people don't seem to dig him too much, but like, he's pretty fucking creative, and like, he comes up with
I dig
cool
Joey
stuff.
Janela.
Yeah, like, I mean, they tried to, like, he came out with the GCW shirt. He said no more garbage wrestling, but then they just had like a regular wrestling match. And it's just like,
yeah, like
Joey didn't even try to gimmick anything, you know?
I don't even get, like, I was like, all right, no more garbage wrestling. Okay, makes sense. And then it's like,
yeah, Joey didn't even try to do anything crazy. He just like wrestled a match. And I was like, oh, like, okay, I guess. At least it was short.
That, you know what I mean? Like,
that's what I thought they were going to do. Like, I don't know. Like, he was like, if Shawn Spears said no more garbage wrestling, and then like, he did garbage wrestling would be interesting
the chair,
story.
Like weapons and that would be great.
That's actually not the worst thing ever. So like, if he's doing the no more garbage wrestling, like, he should definitely win by doing garbage wrestling shit, you know? Like, that's definitely the
there
move.
You go, there's his gimmick. Chairman, no more garbage wrestling, use a chair all the time.
Yeah, just do garbage wrestling like that. Like, that's that's what a heel does, you know? If you're a bad dude, like, you say you're good, you say like,
we just
you
come
hate
up
this
with
shit.
We just save Shawn Spears.
Yeah, Shawn, go ahead, take that, buddy. You can have that one for free. Oh, that one free. We had we had SoCal Uncensored. They defeated the Lucha Bros in Private Party. And this match was quick, man. That's what I'm saying. They should have switched this around. This one only went like 10 or 15 minutes. It was like for a triple threat. Like, this one blew by. Bam, bam, bam. Iron them bitches out. I did not. SoCal Uncensored just won randomly. They just said, boom, SCU later. And then that was it. And like, they just won. I was like, whoa, what the? That's kind of crazy, ain't it? Like, they didn't do nothing. Like, they literally were just getting started. Like, especially when it comes to like, Private Party and Lucha Bro tags outside of this match, I thought this was going to get nuts. I thought like they were going to go like wild, right?
Yeah. I thought it was, I was like, again, when you, like you said, when it ended, I was kind of like, oh, okay. Well, this is just getting started. You know what I mean?
Like, it wasn't bad, but like, yeah, I was like, damn, SCU later and I'd call it. I'm sure JR loved it. I was like, woo! Hell yeah. Oh, yeah. This happened again. That's what I was talking about with the JR thing. So Private Party is whooping some ass, right? And I think it was, I can't remember who it was. I think it was Mark Quinn ends up going up to the top rope, or he's about to go for a move. And like, he looks over and like, he's getting ready. And I think JR just has an issue with these dudes going to the top rope period. I think he's just like Bill Watts or something. He just fucking hates top rope shit.
Bill Watts.
So like, he's going to go over to the top rope and he's getting ready to do his big, I can't remember what he did, but he was getting ready to do a move. And like, JR is having just a fucking hissy fit over. He's like, oh, he's wasting time. He's wasting time. It's like, because it, goddamn, he's got to get to the top rope. It takes a minute to like process, like, I'm about to do a flip. Like, it takes a second to get through that. And he just did not let that go the entire match. And like, he buries the Lucha Bros too whenever they do matches and stuff too. Like, whenever Phoenix goes crazy.
Which is wild because they're like the best tag team in the world right now.
Yeah, Phoenix went nuts. He went like rope to turnbuckle to other rope to flip. I was just like, wow. Or like, yeah, you know, or like when Excalibur calls moves and stuff. Like, he's like, oh, the tornillo and stuff. And he's like, oh, you mean a dive? It's like, dude, can you shut up? Like,
yeah,
I just,
at one point there was like an STO and Jim Ross called it a rock bottom. So there was that.
Oh yeah. And then later on the evening, he's like, D-Von, get the tables. What does that do for this? D-Von's not here. D-Von's not here. And that's another promotion.
Match that Jim Ross was talking about the five. He was like, oh, the ref's supposed to get them out in a five count when they're in the ring, you know, like during tag matches.
Yeah.
But AEW has established that it's 10 seconds during tag matches. I don't know if you ever caught that, but they definitely has.
Yeah, I see them counting it. Yeah.
It's a 10 right. count in the ring, not a five. And Jim Ross was like, they got to get them out of the ring. It's supposed to be a five count. I'm like,
I feel like either commentary's in the dark for everything, or Jim Ross is just like blatantly ignorant to everything around him. Like, there's got to be something.
I think Jim is just so set in like the ways of wrestling that he knows. And AEW's kind of changing it up a little bit. And so he's kind of like, wait, that doesn't make sense to my old school wrestling knowledge. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, he's not communicating with the audience, if that makes sense. Like, nothing that's coming out of his mouth is like a super big deal. Like, it's just words. Like, what AEW needs to do is get someone that's hungry in that position. Like, I feel like if they took Golden Boy and like did more with Golden Boy, they could really transform
him. That's
what I
was thinking.
They could,
I feel like he doesn't need to be a backstage interviewer.
No, I mean, he's good at that, but like, he's also just like a really good commentator, period. And I feel like they could take him and like really mold him into like one of the new voices of this company, especially with Excalibur by his side, you know, if they just wanted to. They just have to have someone hungry. JR's not hungry anymore, and that's always going to be the issue, is like, he doesn't give a shit. Like, if they dropped him from the company tomorrow, he'd be like, oh, okay, good run. You know, like,
maybe it's still like a growing pains thing with them. Like, I don't think they really have anybody that's giving like direction to commentary, because they're like, oh, well, we have legend Jim Ross, we have legend Tony Schiavone, so
yeah,
we'll be fine. It's like, no, you kind of, even though Jim Ross has been here for a while, he's been in the biz, you still need to give him some direction on how you want your product to be told, the stories you want to tell, because Jim Ross ain't telling any stories about any of these wrestlers.
I wonder if Cody, after losing that match, I wonder if he goes back to a more like overview, like a Vince position. Like, if he's not going to change, like, I doubt it, but I was thinking about that. I'm like, well, like, he does his MJF thing. He puts over MJF. And then like, what if he just goes into that position, you know, and then now Cody is like, he's already so over, and like, whenever they need to use him for a match, they can use him.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. They could definitely do that with him if they wanted to.
Yeah. That'd be pretty cool. Just like have him for the big shows.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, like, this tag was dope. I mean, like, 13 minutes is a quick in and out. Lucha Bros, once again, it's crazy they're not the tag champs. And it's funny because SCU won, and I swear to God, they started booing. Like, SCU won, and they just started. Then Daniels came out in the Pentagon gear. The arena went black again because it keeps doing that. And then Daniels came in, and I, you know, the second he hit the STO, I was like, that is Daniels.
The second I looked into his eyes and said, that's Daniels, and I was like,
that is the Dan. And he brought back the Fallen Angel face paint. He was over, dude. The crowd loves Christopher Daniels. And that'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
I understand him returning or whatever, but I'm just kind of like, did we really need to do the Pentagon thing? Like, I don't know.
Didn't Chris Jericho do that once?
Yeah, he dressed up as Pentagon and then code-breakered him, right? Didn't he?
Yeah, I think that was it. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, it got a big pop. It got a bigger pop than, like, anything in the match. So, yeah, I guess, like, it worked out.
That's true. But I just kind of, like, I'm over the lights go out, and then there's, like, a guy in a mask dressed as another guy. And it's
the best one was the lights go out, and then Cody's in the ring. Why did the lights go out for this? That was the best one, was Cody just in the ring in a jacket. Oh.
They just want the old school feel, you know, when the lights go out, they come back. That's ECW right there.
Nah, I mean, that's fine. Like, whatever. It's not the end of the world. It's just funny. Like, I just expect the lights to go out every show now. Like, I just expect Cody to be in the ring in a fucking sports jacket.
We have
jacket.
A lights out match, too.
They love that shit. They love turning the lights off. Like, it's a lot of money to run these babies.
They figured out how to push one button to turn the lights. Ooh, we could do this. That's
Hopefully they learn how to audio mix on, you know, the next couple of weeks. That'd be really, really cool. That's one of my biggest things. But Lucha Bros fired off.
It was cool
off,
to see Daniels. He was Daniels was super over, and he had the face paint, and that was sick. So
yeah, but Lucha Bros fired off in this match, and that's what I'm saying is like I still don't know. They should probably be the tag champs. I mean, like just because like they are far and beyond the best tag team on this whole roster.
No, they have the silver medals.
Yeah, they came out with the medals and they're like number
Private
two.
Private Party has the bronze medals. I'm just like, dude, all right. Yeah, is that what thing we're doing?
Yeah, Lucha. Okay, so what needs to happen? Obviously, is Lucha Bros has got to win the straps off of SCU because whatever reason, and then like they have to go straight into Jurassic Express. Like that's the money feud is Jurassic Express.
That's probably at their next like big. I'm thinking maybe they build to that like for their big, whatever their big.
Your next favorite? Yeah, the next one.
In their big one? Is that their WrestleMania? All in?
Maybe. Actually, yeah, maybe.
So build to that, I guess. I don't know.
But well, yeah, you know, Luchasaurus is out for X amount of months. I don't remember how long it is. It's a while, though. That's what I'm saying. Like, they have time. So, like, but I think the money is Lucha Bros and Jurassic Express. Like, that's definitely. Yeah,
I'm sure they see that. I mean, they'd be dumb not to see that. So, they're probably, like, slow building to that.
Yeah. And I think Private Party will grow eventually to be, like, one of the teams too. Like they're really good. They're not as good as the Lucha Bros, but like they're getting there, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and they connect with people too, so that always helps.
Well, we have Riho versus Emi Sakura, which is the AEW Women's World Championship match. Riho ends up winning. They get a good amount of time. They do what they need to do. It was good. I really enjoyed the match. I don't know how you felt about it, but I really, really liked it. I thought this is my match of the night, but obviously,
I just could not get by Jim Ross, man. He like he straight up like ruined this whole thing. Like at one point, I don't know what he was just bumbling and stumbling. And
JR was legitimately getting pissed at Emi Sakura's name, like legitimately yes, getting upset.
He was
like God damn it. Like just say if you can't say Emmy, that's fine. Just say Sakura. Sakura. I give up.
I don't know why you can't say Emmy. It's not that hard.
Yeah, it's just like JR, like well, first off, you have to he has to understand how her name is written in Japanese text because it's different. Like he's correct to say Amy because that is technically how you say it. Because E in Japanese is eh. So it is pronounced like Emmy. So it, like with JR's Southern accent, it does come across as Amy. But he said Amy. He said Amy. and
the biggest issue was they like dwelled on it for way too long.
Because he started getting pissed. He started getting pissed about it. He's like, Emmy, Amy, Sakura. Fuck. It's like, oh my God, just shut up. Just don't say the name anymore, dude. This is horrible. All Jim Ross said the entire match was, that was 98 pounds. That was 98 pounds. She's 98 pounds. And like, they're trying to run through this story of mentor and student. And like this match is really good. And like commentary is just abysmal. Like Excalibur knows bits and pieces and he's trying his hardest to pull this together. But Jim Ross is just interrupting him at every moment to say 98 pounds. She's a lady. And like, oh, she did it. Like, what are you saying? Like, you're not. That's what I'm saying is like Jim Ross is not adding any. Like he is this match. If there was a way to get this match with no commentary, it would have been 100 times better.
Yeah. Even on the countdown to this show, they didn't even have any promotion for it.
Yeah, not even on the countdown. They didn't even mention it at all. Like, when they came out on the entrance, first off, I'm so sick of talking about JR already. So so they come out to do the intro, and Emi Sakura's whole gimmick is she really likes Freddie Mercury and she loves Queen. We've known that. She's done that since Double or Nothing. That was goddamn 6 months ago. That was a long time ago. That's a half a year ago. She's been dressing like Queen. JR. I don't understand why she has the mustache. Because she likes Queen a lot. If he has to say it one more, she has literally every single time she has come to the ring has dressed the exact same way with the exact same mannerisms and has done the exact same thing every single match. She explained on Twitter why she says, before she does the hair throw because of her trainer. Okay, she explained that she does the We Will Rock You because she likes Queen, because she comes out like Freddie Mercury. How much more do you need to fucking understand what is going on? Like, I feel like he is just, it's like so blindly ignorant that he's not even trying. It's not even a, it's not even a effort at all to learn about anyone on the roster, even a small tad bit, even a little bit. I just, you know what I mean? It's just annoying. It's fucking, it's just really, really annoying. And it's just, it's starting to just get to me, Tony.
It's taking a toll, man. It's taking a toll.
I'm mentally dying out here, man. I just can't take it. I watch too much wrestling with no commentary that, like, when I have to tune into fucking wrestling with commentary, it pisses me off. Like, I watch too much wrestling with no commentary or in Japanese commentary, so I don't got to fucking deal with that shit. And, like, I come over here and I got to listen to this. I'm like, it's rough, man.
It's because this women's stuff is your favorite, and then Jim Ross is just ruining it for you.
It's so bad. It's the pits. But I digress. Off this situation here, I did really, really enjoy this match. And you know, I if you don't want to count the lights out match at the end, like, this was easily the best match on the card to me.
That's not a real match anyway. It didn't count.
That's what I'm saying. If you don't want to count that, then
it didn't
then
even happen.
Right.
It's not
correct.
In the records book.
So we have Chris Jericho and Cody. They brought over Keiji Muto for some reason. They said, we're going to have judges. They had Dean Malenko, Arn Anderson, and Keiji Muto, who is the great Muta. They brought him over to sit there for half an hour. So that was
great.
He just
sat there. Did nothing. There was like nothing. It just, like, they showed him once, I think.
Yeah, if the match were to go 60 minutes, then they would have gone to the judges. The match only went a half hour, so we didn't have to use the judges. I hope and pray that every single championship match from now on has Keiji Muto at ringside for no reason.
Just sitting there, not doing anything.
Dude, that was so hilarious because they didn't... You would think, like, having Keiji Muto ringside would be, like, a big deal, but, like, it just, like, randomly panned over, and the Great Muta's here, too. What? The Great Muta!
Yeah, they would have been... Almost forgot. The Great Muta!
Get on down here! What the hell is he doing here?
Arn should have said that. I almost forgot. The Great Muta.
They didn't have anybody talk or anything. They're just like, oh, they're here. And then Chris Jericho went and fucked with Dean Malenko for a second. It's like, oh, okay. The match was better. Like I was talking to Tony before we went live. I feel like AEW has, like, a Midas touch in a way. Where, like, this, for all purposes, this match shouldn't have been as good as it was. But it feels like AEW is just, like, they're almost, like, on a roll in the sense of, like, anything they do ends up being good, which is weird. You know, big title match, Jericho and Cody are not the most interesting workers nowadays. I mean, like, Jericho is awesome and I love him. Cody, you know, he's really supported by the audience, and, like, like I said, it's just like a Midas touch in a way. Like, this match shouldn't have been that great, but, like, of course, 15 seconds in, Cody fucking hardways himself on the ramp off of Suicida.
And it's like, insane.
It's like, oh, now the match is good because Cody's busted wide open. And, like, you know what I mean? It's just like a Midas touch where, like, if Cody didn't bust himself open, if he didn't get hardway, if he didn't get blood early, like, this match would have went completely different. It would have staled out pretty early, but it didn't, because it's just like they can do no wrong. It's like Cody throws his head fucking head first into the ramp, and now all of a sudden, oh, Midas touch. This is pretty good.
Yeah, that was wild, dude. I was cringing the entire time, and I was like, oh, this is bad. This is bad. This is bad.
Yeah, and Jericho with his just, he brought, my favorite part was Jericho brought a weight belt to this match just to use it to slap the piss out of him.
Jeez.
And JR didn't say, he's beating him like a scalded dog. I was like, you got to be kidding me. What are you here for? If you're not going to say.
Mule.
Yeah, he didn't say any of that shit. He just said, he's hitting him. I was like, oh, okay. You're not going to, like,
your one-liners that we pay you for. You can't even get those in.
Yeah, you didn't even get those. Like, I'm pretty sure Jericho did that to get those one-liners in there, and JR still missed the boat on that. It's like, come on, bro. Maybe we're going to have you do it. Jake Hager was a big part of this one. He kept interfering before referee Aubrey Edwards, almost called her Aubrey Hepburn, ejected Jake Hager. MJF was in Cody's corner. Jericho ends up making, well, I don't know. I don't want to say submit. Jericho gets Cody in a lion tamer and just cranks that bitch back. Cranks it. And MJF ends up throwing in a towel. A legitimate towel, by the way. I'm not talking about, usually you throw a flag or a little handkerchief in the ring. He threw a whole fucking beach towel in the ring. He just took a whole big ass white towel and said,
pfft. Yeah, that's it. We're done.
Yep. And that called the match. And I guess Cody lost, so he can never challenge for the AEW World Championship again. I'm sure they'll come up with something. Like I said, it's wrestling, so you can write around that no matter what. Like, you can find a way to get around it, which is like one of the biggest things. Like, that's why I don't understand why wrestling is so afraid to have stakes. Like, when you look at, like, the Seth Rollins and the Fiend or whatever, like, you could write around a ton of shit. Like, you didn't have to end it like that. Like, you could have ended it any other way possible because, like, nothing exists in wrestling until you make it exist. So
that's true.
Yeah, you could do whatever you want. So, like, if Cody lost here, then now you have to go into, you have to sit down and go, so how does Cody get around this obstacle? Right? Because that's just what you do in writing. It's why you do in stories too.
Well, it's easy. I mean, Cody never actually submitted MJF threw in the towel. So there you go.
Yeah, you can do anything you want. Like, you can make anything a possibility. And I think the MJF turn was, I think this was the right time to do it. A lot of people were like, how did a heel turn heel? Which I thought was funny. But, like, obviously the story they told was that MJF and Cody are boys. And they were like, Cody and...
We talked about that for a while, about how we like the heel and the face being friends because that's who they ride with. You know what I mean? That's kind of a cool thing. But they flipped that one.
And I think that was the right move because MJF was... He was almost entering a limbo in a sense, yeah? We're like,
yeah, I would see that. I kind of was kind of, at first I was like, ah, it was so predictable. I was just like waiting. Even at the last pay-per-view, I was like, ah, he's going to turn, and he didn't. Yeah. They like teased it. I think when he was fighting Sean Spears, they teased it, and then it didn't actually happen. And I'm like, all right, well, I guess. And then it gives us interesting stuff to go forward. Like you said, MJF was kind of in limbo, and we'll see. And Cody is just trying to make people, as he did with Darby Allin and stuff, so we'll see some great stuff
coming out.
He
has a good track record so far, to be honest. Like, that's what I'm saying with the whole Cody thing. Like, they sort of have the Midas touch in a way where, like, yeah, I like the Cody I was talking about in my Discord earlier. Yeah, the Cody and Darby Allin match wasn't great. Like, especially in a vacuum, like in the context of when it happened, it wasn't great. But it got the coffin drop over and it got Darby over. And then Darby went on and he became super fucking over. So, like, it did exactly whatever they wanted to do. Yeah, it might not have been like a blowaway crazy match or anything. And it might have been just the basic down the middle call. But fuck, they get almost everything right. Right. I mean, like, it's sort of insane how they're able to just make shit happen out of nowhere. It's impressive.
Yeah, it was cool. And then just to see, like, because I was wondering, like, if MJF turns, does he side with Chris Jericho? But that's not the route that they took here.
No, yeah, so I thought he might join the Inner Circle, but it doesn't seem like he's going to do that either.
It was kind of cool because he was on his knees, like, "I'm sorry, man. You know, it just happened." And then
I liked it.
Cody was like, "What? I never gave up. What happened?" And so, like, it was kind of this confusion thing. And then it was like, "Oh, that's what happened." And kicks him in the dick, and then, "Oh, here we go."
Yeah, I liked it. I thought it was. I actually put that like on the wrestling prediction league thing I do. That was one of the questions that I said, will MJF turn on Cody? I'm pretty sure everyone said no.
It didn't seem like it was going to be this time. And where I think they threw all these other stipulations in there that the MJF turn was like the last thing on people's mind. They're like, oh, is it going to go 60 minutes? Is it going to be never challenging for the world title again? And then now it's like, oh, well, MJF turning. That was like on last on the list.
I wonder if anyone, one of the other questions I asked was how long will the Cody and Chris Jericho match go? I don't think anyone got that right. There's just no one even got close. Well, someone said 29 minutes. I was pretty close, but yeah, I said, will MJF turn on Cody? 71.4% said no. That's a pretty overwhelming no.
Yeah, that's the majority there. I totally forgot. And I was like, oh, no way they're going to do it now. And they did it.
Yeah, I'm looking to see if there's any other big upsets, but I think everyone kind of called it right down the... Mm-hmm. Well, actually, 71.4% said Pac was going to beat Hangman Page. So But that was,
yeah, I think that one could have gone either way, really, that Hangman and Pac. So, I mean, yeah, it is that, what it is.
That was pretty much it. So, yeah, well,
it's not a big deal.
But I like the match, like I said, him getting hard way opened, and like, it's just fun. You really couldn't ask for anything better.
I was cringing the entire, I was like, oh, this is wild. And that entrance ramp is like, maybe that's why you don't use that entrance ramp.
Hell no. We were watching Halloween Havoc 93. That's the ramp, baby. You okay, got, yeah, yeah, you take him out there. You got to tase him in the leg. Get him, Harley Race.
If it was Cactus Jack, he would have just got up and walked away.
Fine. Hell yeah. He said, Vader, hit me in the face. Okay. That's what they should have done.
Yeah, Vader busted him up with punches. Cody's got to smash his face against the entrance ramp to get bloody.
And he fucking ate that shit, too. Oof. But it ended up being good. And like that was a good way to end the show. Like, the Cody matches are never my match of the years by any means, but like in the context of whenever they're happening with the pay-per-view or whatever the sense is, they always deliver, because Cody, this crowd will literally die if Cody hold him to die. So
yeah,
it makes it a lot better.
Cody's like the savior of professional wrestling now in AEW, and it's fantastic. And kudos to the doctors out there not spending like 18 hours like they usually do trying to fix somebody's bloody wound. They just quickly were like, all right, we're moving on.
Yep. All right, you're good, you're not gonna bleed out, keep going.
And they actually stopped the blood. Did you see that for a
yeah
while?
Yeah, that like, was crazy. I was like, damn, what'd they do? Probably just fucking burned them. They're like, ah.
But anywhere else, they'd be there for like 20 minutes holding the X up waiting for him. All right, yeah, gotta get more people to try to figure this out. Stop, time out, stop, stop, stop,
stop, stop, stop. Oh man. And speaking of blood, baby, we get to the good stuff, man. The lights out, unsanctioned big boy match. John Moxley and Kenny Omega. John Moxley ends up defeating the man, Kenny. Unsanctioned lights out match. They have set the precedent for lights out matches. And I'll be honest with you, anytime I see lights out anything from this point forward, I expect nothing less than barbed wire trampolines and mousetrap boards and glass. Yeah, I expect nothing less than this match. So you have set this to where, like, we know now that lights out means some fucked up shit. Like, that's some crazy stuff. This dude, I did not know what to expect coming into this, to be honest with you. I thought it was just going to be like a, you know, it'll be a 2019 Kenny Omega match, if that makes sense. Like,
yeah,
Kenny has definitely been on autopilot for quite a bit of time now. I mean, you can even see it in the DDT Ultimate Party match. Like, Antonio Honda was just carrying this dude through everything. But this was actually really, really fun. Like, it was a lot more fun than I thought it was going to be. I was looking forward to it. Remember when we were going to go to All Out? And was it All Out where they were going to announce this? And then they ended up not doing it because John
got
the
MRSA.
Yeah,
this was going to be at All Out because Moxley got hurt. And then we didn't get to see it there. So they put it on here.
Yeah, so this turned out 100 times better than whatever the fuck they were going to do before. Some grapple fuck match, you know, with short pants Moxley. This was best case scenario, is Kenny Omega and John Moxley just fucking beat the living shit out of each other for half an hour. This ruled. This was incredible. The only thing that could have made it better is they did light tubes. I was just like, please, somebody pull a light tube out of money here. I know you got them.
Yeah, when they kept going under the ring and they were looking and they had to circle the ring for other stuff, I'm like, they got light tubes. They got to find them.
They pulled the ring up. The fucking dude, the Phoenix splash onto the wood was that bump.
I feel like his face bounced off that wood.
Yeah, he had, his eye was screwed. I mean, like, it was like someone took a chunk out of his eye. His hand was all bloody. It was just like, that was crazy. That spot alone was, I don't even remember the last time I seen Kenny Omega go for a fucking Phoenix splash. Like, that was obviously a call out to Ibushi, you know what I mean? But like, that was so crazy. So like, I saw him going up and I was like, I know he's not doing a moonsault because he does that from the second rope usually. Mm-hmm. I was like, I saw him go up and I was like, he's going to do the fucking Phoenix splash. And that dude did the Phoenix splash onto wood. I was like, damn, dude, that was crazy. The Death Rider bump too, where he took it straight on his fucking head at the end. I'm like, wow, this is.
Yeah, that was wild. I think my favorite thing about the match was when the glass came in. And then Moxley went, he like, what did he get? I think it was Omega was dragging Moxley on his back over the glass.
Oh, yeah, because Moxley was trying to get to the ropes to try to like alleviate himself out of the hold. And like, yeah, he's just crawling through the glass. Like, that was crazy. Yeah,
first he dragged him like,
he dragged him backwards.
And then he was like in a submission and he was like, it was like a Boston Crab or something. I don't remember. But yeah, then he was army crawling to get to the ropes. But then it wasn't even a rope break anyway, because it was like,
yeah, unsanctioned. But it was cool because like, then he used the ropes to like get out of the hold. Like, he pulled himself out of the hold. Oh, that's pretty cool. And they went they went up the ramp and, he's like, he was calling out to the Young Bucks. Like, Young Bucks, hey, get that thing I was working on earlier. He said, what? Nah, dude, we ain't going to get that thing. Don't worry about that. get that thing. He said, okay. He brought this fucking trampoline, barbed wire mess. They throw each other. I was like, I know they're both going into it, but I'm like, what move are they going to do to go into
Kenny
it?
Kenny sets him up on the shoulders. I'm like, oh, no, he's going to die.
Dude, I was like thinking at the whole match, I'm like, dude, I thought he was going to one wing angel him onto the wood. I'm like, okay, well, he's going to fucking die then. I thought that was going to happen. And I thought he was going to one wing angel him into the trampoline or the bar. I was like, okay, we're going to die tonight. Like, I'm sure Renee's watching at home. Like, ah! I thought, oh, they're going to do, you know, the you can't escape into the thing too. I was like, okay, this, whatever the outcome here is, it's rough. But spot after spot after spot, and like, it was just so much fun, man. It was such a fun match, and like, god damn, they killed each other. And like, that's what I live for. You know, I watched GCW Slam Language last night, and then I got into this, and I got to watch this, and I'm like, this is awesome. Because like, last night on GCW, they had a fuck fest match, which was just the craziest thing I've ever seen. Alex Zane took a Spanish fly on a concrete. I was like,
oh my god.
He's like, all right, so let me tell you about this really quick so I can give you kind of context to this match. So like, in the fuck fest, Alex Zane took a Spanish fly, and it was literally like, it's on like, you know, you've been in an American Legion or something before where like, it's like tile floor, but it's like this like concrete tile where like, give whatsoever. So a Spanish fly on the floor, combined with that, as they're on the way down with a Spanish fly, Alex Zane's head hits the apron of the ring, so it just goes off the apron onto the concrete. I was like, oh my god, he's fucking dead. I was like, this is the craziest thing I've ever seen. So in context, going into the lights out match, I was like, man, they gotta do some crazy stuff to like, you know, because I literally had just gotten off this crazy shit for me to like really, really dig it. I'm like, they got creative. The second they pulled out the mousetrap board, I said, all right, let's get it. That was some cool stuff, man.
Yeah, I expected, like at most, I'm like, oh, they're going to use the broom and the bat or whatever, the barbed wire stuff they were teasing, and then they pulled out the mousetraps. Like,
who made the mousetrap board?
John Moxley. He was just sitting
You think so? That's definitely a Renee thing. I think she made that.
Renee Young. Well, she was tweeting after the thing. Did you see that?
Yeah, she was like, WTF.
WTF, seriously, WTF. I was like,
we ain't even halfway there. Yeah, we're like 20 minutes in the match. We still got like 18 minutes left and John Moxley killed himself. That ruled. That match was awesome.
Moxley can do that stuff now because Renee's got that big Fox Money insurance. You know,
he's got health insurance. He's like, let's die tonight, baby.
And Kenny Omega's an EVP, so he's got that money.
Yeah, he's got the health insurance too. So it's like, yeah, we do it how we want. Let's go.
I never do this match pre-AEW, but now that we all got this big insurance, let's go out and kill each other.
But that's cool. Like, dude, like instantly, AEW has made a stipulation that like people are excited for. Like anytime they see lights out, that's like, we already know
like
a
baby hardcore match. It's like, all right, we're gonna get something crazy.
Yeah, lights out is basically their version of a death match, and like that's dope. Like that's really, really cool. That's like one of the things I was hoping they were gonna do. Is like, I love the TNA gimmicks. You love the TNA gimmicks. You know what I mean? Like, it's a lot of fun. Like, yeah, they had some stupid ass shit, but like TNA was always trying to come up with something and brand stuff. And like the old, you know, we got Ultimate X out of it, and Elevation X was kind of fun, and like we had a bunch of cool shit. So like the lights out, I don't think is like anything too new. Like I'm pretty sure they used to do it like way back in like territory days and shit, but like it's perfect for this company. It's literally perfect. And like after this match, they set it up fantastic. And I this was the best case scenario for Omega and Moxley, and they like knocked it out of the park.
Yeah. At first I was like, this match shouldn't be last. They should have the title match on last. And then after they did the match, I'm like, okay, they freaking destroyed the ring. There's no way this could be going on.
This ain't like, this is it. Like, that's That's Ozzie Grace.
That had to be the trampoline barbed wire thing. I was like, all right, here we go.
Yeah, this match and the women's world championship were easily my favorite. I don't know about you. I don't know which ones were your favorites.
Yeah, for sure. It'll be interesting to see where they go with Moxley after this, because at the end of the show, he was kind of like, fuck you, putting up middle fingers and stuff. And like, all right.
He was almost like defiant in his win. It was cool. Like the way they did it.
Like, book me in a regular. Like now he's going to get booked in a regular match. Can you put me in a regular match so I can get a record?
Man, am I good enough now? Yeah, like that is really dope, actually. Like I said, it just feels like they do a lot of things right. It was just awesome. I keep forgetting he calls it the paradigm shift.
Yeah, it's crazy how they shifted this match and then came back around to it, because it was supposed to be at All Out, and then it came back around and it was even better than what we were going to get, like you said.
Yeah, they shifted around and said, all right, time to die, boys. They heard about that Dean Ambrose healthcare and they said, all right, here we go.
They were even able to like salvage it with like Kenny Omega being like, yeah, you're supposed to be healthy, but it looks like you can't handle the Japanese schedule like I did.
Yeah. Actually, the build was fucking hilarious. Oh, you think you can go to Japan, huh? and John's like, yeah, I think I can. You can't, though. You can stop. You can stop. You can't. Don't worry about that, Chief.
So, yeah, it was fantastic. It's good stuff. Like, this was the longest match of the night. This one went longer than the title match, so.
Yeah, that was good, though. I think,
Muda's still sitting out there watching this.
Yeah, I almost forgot I got to buy Big Japan. Speaking of deathmatch shit, I got to buy Big Japan tickets for when I'm in Japan. They just went up for sale, so I got to make sure I get those.
Ooh, let's go. Oh, I forgot. Also, we forgot to talk about Cody's mom slapping Jericho in that match.
No, whatever. That was the least. That was my least favorite part of that.
Stunt grandma.
Yeah, that was my least favorite part of that match, so whatever.
I just remember that for some reason. Like, oh, yeah, she slapped him.
Yeah, Cody loves bringing people ringside and having them do shit. Like, it's like probably one of his favorite wrestling tropes is like ringside people doing shit in matches. He loves getting that in there, and he definitely did tonight. So
I don't know if Justin Roberts also was like, he is the father of a dog or whatever he said.
He was going in. Cody's like, yeah, whatever. You know, like, hey, you keep going, whatever. You keep gassing.
He was like smiling. All right, do whatever you want. Yeah.
So, thumbs up or thumbs down overall in this pay-per-view, man?
Thumbs up, man. Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I feel like I haven't really been let down by anything that they've done yet. Like I said, I don't know the next pay-per-view. I assume it's in February or sometime around there. It'll be interesting to see what they decide to build to for that one. Especially what happens with the women's division post this pay-per-view, since there, he says, it's going to be a bigger part. I hope they sign Jamie Hayter. Like, I feel like if they don't, they're just, the funny thing is I don't even know if they are anymore. I feel like they would have, but then like Jimmy Havoc got in a fight with Excalibur at Jimmy's favorite fucking seafood restaurant or whatever. Did you read about that?
No, I did not.
You didn't read about that? Okay, so they were eating at Jimmy's fucking seafood joint or whatever. You know what I'm talking about? The one that Roman Reigns and all the WWE guys always.
Yeah, they were talking about it this week or something.
Yeah,
I don't
so
know.
Anyways, the boys, the AEW boys, Joey Janela, Jimmy Havoc, Jim Ross, just like, you know, Tony Khan, they all go out to like eat at Jimmy's seafood or whatever, seafood buffet, and they're getting rowdy and bowdy, you know, they're getting a little crazy and they're drinking or whatever, and Jimmy Havoc's fucking just weird as fuck in the first place, so like, you know, something crazy is gonna happen. So Jimmy Havoc's getting a little crazy, a little wild, and him and Excalibur get into a little beef and meef, and they start talking back and forth, and then Jimmy fucking shoots on Excalibur and like tries to like hit him. And then Excalibur just grabs him and chokes him out. And then he got choked out by the commentator. Jimmy Havoc is that dude. I was like, wow, that shouldn't have got out. Because like they're pushing this Jimmy Havoc character. It's like, he's a masochist. He loves pain or whatever. Yeah. Like, he just got choked out by Excalibur. He's a retired wrestling commentator. Are you kidding me? All right, everybody. Thank you guys so much for watching this episode of Deadlock. Remember, you can support us on Patreon, patreon.com/DeadlockPW, or buy a shirt, shop.deadlockpw.com, or read an article, deadlockpw.com. I got a bunch of ways you can support. You know what I'm saying? We also got a Twitter and all that kind of stuff. Hopefully, Marcus will be back soon, and we'll be back next week as we talk about all the stuff going down in the wrestling world. Dun, pew, dun. Pew. I think Survivor Series is soon, too, right?
Yeah, it's coming.
NXT,
up, coming
up. Raw, SmackDown is going down.
NXT UK is now involved in that war, so we'll see what that means.
Oh, it's got indiscriminately worse.
You know, NXT isn't WWE, by the way.
Yeah, of course not. I mean, Adam Cole said it. This is NXT versus WWE. The hell does that mean?
It's not run by the same guy.
All right, guys. We'll catch you guys next week. Have a good one, everybody. We'll see you next time on the next episode of the Deadlocked Podcast.